Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Center for Genius Grants here at Car Talk Plaza. Now, as you probably know, once again, the MacArthur Foundation handed out the Genius Grants this year.
I read about it just the other day.
Once again, we got what? Squat.
Yeah.
Jack.
Nada.
So I've got two suggestions for the MacArthur Foundation on how to improve these awards that they give out.
Yeah, like what?
Well, one would be institute a new kind of grant, a moron grant.
With shoo-ins.
Now, it's obvious that if you're a genius, you can figure out how to get money one way or another, but if you're like us...
You're exactly right. What are they
we need the help.
They give a half a million dollars to geniuses. You're absolutely, as usual, you've put your finger right on it.
Or in it.
There should be a moron grant. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
Now, if they're not willing to go as far as to create a moron grant, how about something a little more acceptable sounding like, you're a real genius, Grant. We might be able to win one of those.
No, no. The moron grant is us. Hey, I got a couple of quick snippets here. By the way, I've got a lot of mail from people who took umbrage at your little comment a few weeks ago about doctor. Regarding your call from Donna, I thought I heard you disparage the use of doctor by a PhD.
Yes.
Duh, 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 boom.
Yeah, I did.
It's several lines like
that. I will take the heat for it.
All right, this one is from a real doctor, MD.
There we go.
Jack Stevens. As a physician and an avid listener of your show, I've often wondered if there was not a medical explanation for your unique personalities. I was delighted to find the answer the other day in Dorland's Medical Dictionary, 14th edition. I have to figure out how to pronounce this. Witzelzucht, he says. Witzelzucht. W-I-T-Z-E-L-S-U-C-H-T. Witzelzucht. Definition. A mental condition characteristic of frontal lobe lesions and marked by the making of poor jokes and puns and the telling of pointless stories at which the patient himself is intensely amused. Eureka, I thought to myself. The diagnosis cannot be in doubt. You both suffer from a particularly virulent form of Witzelzucht. I doubt there is any effective treatment, but I thought that your families might derive some solace in knowing precisely what your affliction
what
was.
It is we have.
Perhaps there is a Witzelzucht support group out there you could join. If you're lucky, you might even be able to worm your way into a work-related disability pension. Ooh, don't I love those words. I'd get Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe on that right away.
Good work.
Good work, Jack.
Dr. Jack.
Witzelzucht.
Witzelzucht, huh?
Witzelzucht.
Yeah, Witzelzucht.
That's
yep.
What you've got. I often wondered what you had.
Me? If you want to talk to us, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Nancy Clinton.
Hi, Nancy.
No last names.
Oh, all right.
Where are you from, Nancy?
Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Kalamazoo. You know,
yeah.
I got a gal in Kalamazoo.
Zoo,
really?
Zoo, zoo, zoo. Anyway, Nancy, what's up?
Well, I have a problem that's both automotive and mother-daughter.
Mother-daughter. Boy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in my opinion, the mother-daughter relationship is one of the most complex relationships in the entire world.
Mm-hmm.
Your daughter, I guess, must be 17 years old.
Actually, she's 27.
Oh, and you still haven't figured it out.
No,
well,
I
let's
haven't.
Let's hear all the gory details.
Okay, go.
All right. Well, she has a Honda Civic, and she waited 2 years before she decided that she should A, take it in for any warranty work, and B, have the tires rotated.
Yeah.
After she had her tires rotated, her car jiggled, rattled, vibrated. It's like your teeth were going to fall out.
Yeah.
And so I suggested that perhaps she had waited too long to have her tires rotated.
During those 2 years, did she drive like 30,000, 40,000 miles?
Well, like 25,000.
25, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think what happened is with radial tires,
yes.
In the old days, it was recommended that when you rotate radial tires, you always leave them on the same side of the car so that they are rotating in the same direction.
Okay.
So you would take the one from the right front and put it in the right rear, and the left front and put it in the left rear, put it on the
Yeah, we got the picture.
Front.
I think everyone just figured it out already.
Right?
Yeah. Okay.
However, they don't recommend that anymore. Now they recommend that you rotate them the old-fashioned way. Take the one from the right front, put it on the left rear. Take the one from the left rear, put it on the right rear, left front, all that stuff.
Put the spare in the glove box.
Spare in the glove box. But they admonish us that if we do rotate them that way, we must do it every 7,000 miles.
Okay.
Or thereabouts.
Because, and if you don't do it, you're in danger of having tread separation, which is what I believe she has.
Okay.
So she needs to buy some new tires.
Okay.
But on the larger issue.
Go ahead.
Should it be any of your business?
Oh, that's my question exactly. What the heck are you doing interfering with the rotation of your tires on your daughter's car?
And if you're interfering in this area,
God
knows what else you're doing.
Yeah.
I'm feeling quite chagrin.
Well,
I mean, what about her boyfriends?
Tell us about them.
Tell us about that.
How many of those have you gotten rid of?
Well, suffice it to say, she does not live in Kalamazoo with me. She lives in Minneapolis.
Well, of course. And she will just keep moving further and further away.
You'll be getting postcards from Tibet pretty soon.
That's right.
So, if I'm hearing you correctly, then your suggestion is that I keep my nose that was jiggling in the car.
You have to just cut the cord. You have to realize that it's time to let her make her mistakes, whatever they may be. And you may be surprised that they aren't as bad as you think they're going to be. And maybe there aren't going to be any mistakes.
Well, that's true. This is a less is more type thing. Huh?
You didn't buy the car for her or anything like that.
No, actually, her grandmother did.
Well, Nancy, butt out.
All right. I will take your advice. I won't say anything more about the car. I'll just
let her listen to the show.
Let her listen to the show, and maybe she'll recognize this is her.
Okay.
Maybe, huh?
Maybe.
See you later.
Thanks, gentlemen.
Nancy.
Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye. Now, on the other hand, when was the last time your mother told you what to do?
Every day.
Every day.
My mother calls me up, I would say on average, I wouldn't say every day.
No.
But on average, 3 times a week.
Yeah. Those are the days that she doesn't call me up.
Tells me to stop smoking cigars.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She tells me to make sure I wear a t-shirt in the winter, otherwise I'll get a terrible raffreddore. She tells me never to listen to my brother.
That's what she tells me. All the same things.
Oh.
Yeah. Interesting.
What does she tell Lucille? Jeez, I'm going to change my number. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk. She'll be calling us here.
She has.
Hello.
Oh, this is Herbert House from Chicago.
Herbert?
Yes, House from Chicago.
Herbert House.
Guys, I've got a problem. I have a 79 VW van that likes to catch a fire on the left-hand side of the van. Of the engine.
Oh, yeah? Did you buy this vehicle new?
No.
No, 79. I brought it for my stepdad, but he's good about cars. I knew I had a gasoline leak, but it had been leaking gas for about 2 years on the right-hand side and never had any problems.
Uh-huh.
First time it burned, somebody told me down the street, "Herb, your car's burning. I got out, put that out. Took it to them, and they could not find it. As long as they had it, no problem. They ran to Herb, no problem,
yeah.
No problem. So it caught a fire again.
Well, maybe when your father bought this car new, did he get the excitement package?
Well, no.
VW has that, you know, because people have accused VW vehicles of being boring.
But this is my third one. I love these.
I think it was 79 that they introduced the excitement package, as a matter of fact.
I don't know what it is.
So what happened? Is this a scenario you're driving along, somebody's behind you?
Yes, so it was the first time.
They see the flames shooting out of the...
Well, you could see it down low by the wheel at that point.
Yeah.
So maybe we thought it was some debris from the manifold pipes that come back. I'd replaced some of it or tried to patch it with the little foil-like ductwork, you know, around the manifolds and holes back to the muffler system. So we pulled some junk out maybe from weather. We thought that was burning. But the next time, it was really on top of the engine.
Did you attend the Mickey Mouse School of Technology? I mean, Herb, come on. This is dangerous.
But for 2 years, I drove it with the gas can leaking. No problem. Drop the motor. Fix the gas can, put it back in, and then I've got fire in the hole.
Well, I think what's probably causing the fire is not gasoline, but oil. I think motor oil is leaking onto the hot exhaust, and that's catching fire.
See, motor oil has is more likely to catch fire than gasoline, strangely enough.
Hard to believe, isn't it?
Hard to believe.
Would the gasoline just have exploded the whole thing?
No,
no. It would evaporate.
The gasoline doesn't stay around. When gasoline hits a hot object like a manifold,
uh-huh,
it doesn't stay around long enough to reach what's called the ignition point. And the ignition point for gasoline and oil are both around 700 and something degrees.
But the gasoline evaporates real fast.
The oil stays there, and it boils and bubbles and gets hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter.
Okay.
And I think you're going to find it's an oil leak causing the problem.
Okay.
I mean, I guess I would take it to the mechanic somehow if you can get it there.
Okay.
And he's going to just let it run and see what's going on in that side.
Yeah, tell him not to go to lunch while he leaves it running.
Exactly. I keep a fire extinguisher in the car. I mean, it's still there.
Yeah, very good.
Great. Thank you.
See you, Herb.
Hey,
all
Herb,
right,
good
bye
luck.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello.
Hello. Uh-oh.
Oh, no. Jeez. Come on. Dougie, don't you screen these calls. I told you never to put her through again.
And for those of you that don't recognize this voice, it's the voice of our darling mother, Elizabeth.
Who wants you to live a little longer.
A little
Why?
Longer than what?
I don't know. To give me aggravation.
All right. I can tell you that I got my T-shirt on today. See?
All right.
My brother's got his. Yeah, he's got one on, too.
We're wearing our T-shirts.
Okay. What about the cigars?
We're not smoking any cigars. They won't let us smoke in the studio. We haven't smoked a cigar for 2 years now.
I don't believe
And what
you.
Was the third thing?
Even my little elves aren't doing their job.
Oh.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah. She has our kids destroying our cigars.
You know, you don't have to take care of us anymore.
What do you mean I don't have to take care of you? You're doing
We're adults now. We're adults. We can handle it now.
We're responsible citizens.
Smoking cigars?
Well, yeah, what's
going
wrong with
without
that?
An undershirt?
Oh.
Catching cold.
Well, you're right about the undershirt thing.
You're giving me aggravation.
Well, I know, but we don't mean to. We love you dearly.
No, you don't. If you loved me, you wouldn't smoke those stinky cigars.
All right, forget about the cigars. We had a call that you probably didn't hear from
what
a woman who, the problem was her relationship with her daughter. And I said that I thought the mother-daughter relationship was one of the most complex relationships in the world. And I have only a vague recollection of your relationship with my dear sister.
Oh, we get along fine.
Well, you do now.
We always did.
Oh, no, I don't remember
Come
that.
On, you threw her clothes out in the street. You call that getting along fine? My sister.
That was only
She's
one.
A wonderful person, my sister, but she had this habit.
She was a slob.
She was a slob. She would put on an outfit and say, no, I don't feel like wearing this. She would take it off and take the clothes, which my mother had spent hours washing and ironing, and she would throw them under her bed and take out a new outfit.
When she was in college.
So she would take, every morning, she'd have to try on two or three outfits. My mother one day is dusting, and she looks under the bed and finds all these
clothes. Her entire wardrobe.
Which she had spent hours washing and drying and ironing.
And starching.
At the river with the stones.
The river with the stones. And there they were all crumpled up under the bed. Well, Mom had what we should call a nervy.
A nutty.
Oh! She went nuts, screamed and yelled at my sister, took all the clothes.
Of course, Lucille wasn't home at this time.
No, opened the window and threw them out onto the street.
No, she on said, the lawn.
What yeah. lawn? We didn't have any lawn?
Yes, we did.
All right,
the
bricks.
Yeah.
I was there. You call that getting along?
So you're washing our linen on the air?
Hey,
you're washing
well, I mean,
our laundry on the air?
And even
well, the truth must be known. We're firm believers in telling the truth,
the
all
truth,
the family
the
secrets.
What about you, too?
Well, we told everyone about your drinking problem and your incarceration and everything else. I mean, after all.
Go bother Dad for a while, will you?
He's fixing the window here.
Yeah.
He is? All right.
Well, go bother
saying,
him.
Where am I?
Ask
son?
Him if he likes those cigars we got for him.
Ask him if he's
Don't
wearing his T-shirt.
No more cigars.
No more cigars. No.
Absolutely not. They're out.
You're going to hear from me until I die.
All right, all right.
Unless you get rid of those cigars.
Okay, already.
Jeez.
Okay.
Like a broken record. can't take it anymore.
And screen these calls, will you please?
This should do it.
Jeez.
And if you don't get rid of those cigars, I will keep calling
you. All right,
you.
With the cigars already. Bye.
I'll call you another time.
Oh, yeah, we know.
Yeah, sure. You better disguise your voice because you're not getting through it any longer.
I'm putting voice recognition on my phone.
Just be good boys.
Okay, we will.
Okay.
Get a light.
After that.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Anyone want to buy a box of cigars?
Bought a box of T-shirts.
I'm emotionally drained. I don't think I can go on. See what it does to me? It just wears you down.
It does. Oh.
She calls me on the phone, and I just sink deeper and deeper in my chair. By the time she's had her way with me, I'm done for.
Yeah. No, she will not give up. You talk about perseverance.
Oh, it's like a pebble in your shoe.
Oh, God.
All right, look. It's time to take a short break.
All right, and when we come back, we'll have the answer to last week's preseason puzzler.
We have to give answers to the preseason puzzles? I thought they didn't count.
Come on. You got 60 seconds.
They don't count in the standings.
You got 60 seconds to figure out an answer.
I should probably start by figuring out the question, huh?
Yeah.
I bought me an auto, an 81 Ford Escort wagon. Now the fan, it be broke, and the tailpipe, it be dragging. I feel like a schlemiel. My mechanic's fit for hanging. I got to go to Rust, check about the price, I'll be haggling. I can't drive it home because the muffler, it be sagging. Got a car full of pain. Satan's in my engine, Beelzebub's in my trunk. A fist of Bailey's at the wheel because I'm too goddamn drunk. My all's my passenger and Lucifer's beside him. I've got demons in the coolant, I've got bats in the transmission. This Escort needs an exorcism, Penn is to blame. I got a car full of pain.
And even though the NPR disaster preparedness team takes their positions whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like if you're a teacher with a class of really rotten students you want to punish.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to the first preseason puzzler.
I can hardly... this is an exciting
actually,
moment.
This shouldn't be a priest. This should be a regular season puzzler. I mean, this is just counting the standing, shouldn't it?
Yeah, but the reason that you called it a preseason puzzler is because it was lousy.
Well, it isn't lousy.
And it won't get counted. It will not get counted if it's preseason. It will not count
but
on your batting average.
I want it to count.
It will not count on your batting average.
How am I going to negotiate for a bigger contract next year? Actually, I will preface the answer.
Oh, you probably think that it's better than you thought it was last week.
No, I knew it was a great puzzler. A lot of people sent in information relating to this puzzler, but the most authoritative piece of correspondence came from Colonel Larry Hildebrand, USAF retired.
Oh!
And I will just,
This happened to have been an aeronautic puzzler.
So yeah. I'm going to restate the question.
And then everyone will appreciate who this guy is.
Exactly. It was a dark and stormy night. The location is a secret airfield somewhere in England during WWW2.
The big one.
The RAF had summoned one of England's most noted mathematicians to help them solve a problem. I think I mentioned he would remain nameless because...
You didn't know his name.
Anyway, they were having a problem, as I'm sure most people were aware, because they were attempting to bomb Germany, and the German anti-aircraft fire based on the ground was, inflicting heavy losses on the Brits.
Yeah.
And their planes were being shot down right and left, and the RAF realized they had to do something to diminish their losses. Now, clearly, they could put armor plating on the bottoms of the fuselages and the wings, but there were several problems that came along with this. One, they would have to become ground-based planes because they wouldn't be able to fly. The ones that could would have their range considerably reduced, and of course their ability to carry cargo and bombs and fuel and everything would be diminished because of this additional weight.
Yeah, so they had to be very selective. If they were going to put any armor...
At all. They
had to
be selective.
Very, very selective.
So anyway, this nameless mathematician crawls underneath the planes and looks at where the bullet holes are underneath them. Now, there are bullet holes all over the place, as you might expect. in the wings and the fuselage and seemingly distributed randomly on the undersides of these planes. He studies hundreds of planes, takes pictures, draws things and whatever, and then he makes his recommendation. The question, very simply, is what armor plating, if any, does he recommend putting on these planes and why?
Wow.
Now, Berman just leapt on this right away, and he said, the propeller. That was one of your guesses, too, if I remember.
An armor-plated propeller.
Because if the propeller gets shot off, you're a goner.
You're a goner. Better it should weigh 6 tons. And not be able to turn.
Right.
At least
then
that way
shot off.
You can be assured that you won't crash. Why?
Because you won't
take off.
Well, what he noticed was that the planes that returned, the surviving planes, indeed had bullet holes all over the place. But he figured that the ones that didn't return had bullet holes where these planes didn't have bullet holes.
Exactly.
Right?
This is brilliant. I love this.
So what his recommendation very simply was, armor plate the unhit areas that the returning or surviving planes had in common. When he surveyed the undersides of these, he noticed there were a few spots that all of them had in common that had no bullet holes. Mm. And he had to assume that the ones that hadn't returned
had bullet holes,
and that's why
they didn't return.
They're in the English Channel
someplace.
Did they
ever return?
No, they never returned, and their fate is still unlearned. Do we have a winner? Do we have a winner for this preseason puzzler?
Well, did you want to say anything more about the USAF retired general there?
Well, no. Larry Hildebrand, in fact, was one of the ones that sent us this very same puzzler.
Oh! And did he know the answer?
Yes, he did.
Good for you, Captain.
Yes, he did.
Major.
Colonel!
Yes, we have a winner, and it's not him. Why shouldn't it be him?
He won, too. We'll send him a flight jacket.
The winner is Liz Walsh from Lexington, Massachusetts. And for having her correct answer selected at random from all the right answers, Liz is going to get a gift certificate, and she can blow $25 at Car Talk's Shameless Commerce Division on our website. And with $25, she can get about 1 2/3 Car Talk CDs.
Not bad.
Not bad.
That's about all you could stand.
I mean, actually, if they leave out the middle 2/3 there, you can play most of it. Don't worry, Liz. It'll be good.
Anyway, we'll have another puzzler coming up later in the show. And
really?
Brand new.
Preseason? This is the real season.
No, this is still preseason.
It's still preseason.
The season doesn't start until November. If you want to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Well, hello.
Oh, geez, what is this?
How
family day here?
Well, as the middle child, I thought it might be good to speak up.
Before we let this maniac continue, this is none other than our darling sister.
Yeah, the evil
adorable.
The evil sister Cruella,
who was responsible for making our mother so mean to us. But go ahead.
Wait a minute.
You were there the day she threw your clothes in the street, right?
Well, I wasn't there, but when I came home, I noticed that my room was clean.
How did that happen?
Was that she had what? Thrown my clothes out the window.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, this is nice. My room is clean, so I never even went down to pick them up.
Sure. What do you care? But you didn't have to buy the clothes. You didn't have to wash them. You didn't have to iron them and starch them. Sure.
That's right.
You were an ingrate.
I was oblivious, but I have since turned into a wonderful person.
When?
In case you didn't notice.
When did that happen?
In case you didn't notice.
When was your epiphany? I mean, when did you stop being a slob? Was it when she untied you?
No, when I discovered that I had piles. You should excuse the expression. I had piles of this and piles of that and piles of everything.
Yeah.
But this wasn't until just about 4 or 5 years ago.
Really?
But you know what the truth really is? I had more fun when I was a slob.
You were more fun then.
Yeah, I was.
You're kind of a stiff now.
Quite honestly,
we really don't enjoy having you at family gatherings anymore.
Okay, so I will turn over a new leaflet.
Yeah.
And I will now become what I once was.
Your mother claims now to have a wonderful relationship with you. Would you care to comment on that statement?
Well.
I mean, do you like to verify that statement? Do you believe that it's true?
Only because once she saw me shake out a rug, and my whole life she would say, "Your cousin upstairs, look at her. She's shaking out the rugs. Oh. Why don't you shake out
and
the rugs?"
And you are the loser.
And
all
like
you did was go around singing all the time.
I sang all the time. Yeah. But one day she saw me, maybe 15 years ago, shaking out a rug, and everything turned around like magic.
Well, you never can know what is going to make your parent proud of you.
That's true.
It's very strange. It's interesting. Mm.
But now it's all turned around, and I'm a neat...
Boring, poor person. Yeah,
that's
so we
right.
want you to go back to being a slob.
Okay.
You were a lot more fun then.
I will turn over a new leaflet, and I will just throw all the papers around and all the music around. And
all right, we can't wait.
I'll work on that.
Because you've been... We didn't know how to tell it to you delicately.
You've been a stiff.
And we've chosen this private moment to tell you.
I've been too neat for too long.
Too neat for too long, yeah.
And that's it. I'm now going to be my real self.
There's a song in there. Start working on it.
I'm sure she's going to.
See you, Luba.
Okay, nice talking to you
Oh,
guys.
Yeah, real nice. Yeah, sure. All right, hang up.
Bye.
So long, Luba.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Yes, hello. My name is Michael. I'm calling from Bloomington, Indiana.
Yes.
Hi, Michael.
Beautiful downtown Bloomington, Indiana.
Now, I know my brother is going to ask you, I'll jump in ahead. Where are you from originally?
I'm originally from Germany.
Oh, sure. We knew that. Yeah. Would I ask such a simple question?
Well, he could have been from Austria.
No, he couldn't. Not with that accent.
Brazil,
maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, Michael, what's up?
Well, I have sort of a philosophical question.
Ah, good.
I was wondering whether you can push start a car with an automatic transmission. You know, like you can push start a car with a manual transmission. You know, you push ignition on.
Wait a minute.
Things like that.
Wait, Michael, we need your help.
Okay.
Have you heard this word before? Maybe you can translate it for us. Witzelzucht.
What?
Witzel.
Well, spell it for him.
I'll spell it. You want the English spelling or the German spelling? W-I-T-Z-E-L-S-U-C-H-T. How is my pronunciation? Witzelzucht.
Beats me.
You, huh? Are you a doctor?
No.
Well, that's why, you know. It's a medical term. A mental condition.
But all German words are all made up of shorter German words.
Yeah. Do these pieces of this word mean anything? What does sucht mean, for example?
Sucht is to search.
To search.
And the first word again?
W-I-T-Z-E-L.
Like Witzel.
I don't know.
No, huh?
Witzel.
We'll have to go into the etymology of this first chance we get.
First thing I'm going to do, I'm going to study German for 3 years. I'll be back as soon as I've mastered it. All right, you've been no help on that, Michael.
Okay, so this is a philosophical question. Can you push start a car that has an automatic transmission? And the answer is absolutely yes.
Oh, good.
However, you got to have one hell of a bumper in the back.
Actually, it happened to me the other day that my starter broke down and somebody gave me a push with his car.
Yeah, nothing happened.
Well, things happened, but I didn't know whether I was supposed to do that or not.
Yeah. So well, you can do it, but it doesn't work.
The transmission is going to explode.
No, it's important if you're going to push start. Most automatics cannot be push started.
Uh-huh.
Some can be push started if you get the thing going fast enough. It's most important to get a good running start.
Okay.
The car that's going to do the pushing has to really back up quite a bit.
See, the trouble is when you have a manual transmission, you pop the clutch, right? Because you put it in gear.
Uh-huh.
And what makes it start is that being in gear, the wheels now turn the engine.
Right.
Instead of the engine turning the wheels.
Right.
But when you have an automatic transmission, that can't happen because the linkage between the engine and the transmission is not a firm, solid piece of stuff, but it's fluid. And so in order for it to work, the car's got to be going really, really fast.
Like how fast?
Like 50 miles an hour.
Oh, that's pretty fast.
Yeah,
pretty scary.
So,
yeah, theoretically it's possible. Let's say we're on an empty, you know, in a deserted country road.
Or at the top of Mount Everest. You know, and the car doesn't start, you just throw it in gear.
I couldn't say authoritatively if it's possible with every transmission. There were some transmissions years ago that used to have a rear pump in which it was possible.
Uh-huh.
Okay, very, very easily possible. Most transmissions don't these days, but it's possible to start a lot of them if you get the speed up high enough. But I wouldn't recommend it.
And I mean, which gear should I put it in? Just in drive or in
reverse?
That's a good one.
Yeah. No, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
It probably doesn't matter.
It probably doesn't matter, but I would go in the lowest gear I had if I had the choice.
Yeah, okay.
That was it?
Yes.
And you don't know what Witzelzucht means, huh?
No. Oh, now I know. Witzelzucht is somebody who has to kid all the time.
Who has to what?
To kid somebody else. Kidding, like kidding.
Ah, a joker. A joker.
Yeah, a joker.
Yes.
Exactly.
Well, we have a letter from a doctor who claims that it is a mental condition characteristic of frontal lobe lesions and marked by the making of poor jokes and puns and pointless stories.
Sounds good to me.
Michael, it's a pleasure to talk to you. And don't try to jump start the car. Because
push start. Don't try to push start.
Jump start is okay, but don't try to push start it.
Okay, I will.
Bye-bye.
No,
thanks
I won't. You're supposed to say I won't.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Nancy from Perkinsville, Vermont.
Nancy with a Y?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Vermont?
Yeah.
They're straightforward folks up there. They don't mess around with any funny little spellings.
No.
No.
N-A-N-S-Y. That's it.
So what part of Vermont are you from?
Perkinsville.
Perkinsville.
Oh, yeah. Perkinsville.
Yeah.
That's right near, Middleville, right?
No, it's actually near Windsor, the state capital.
Montpelier is the state capital.
Right.
Anymore.
Was there a coup that we didn't know about?
No, it's where Vermont started. I'm sorry, I made mistakes.
Oh, all right.
Okay. Yeah. What's up?
I have a problem in my garden, and I have these small voles that live in there.
Voles?
Yeah.
Yes.
And they've been eating my garden.
What's a vole?
A vole is like a mole.
Yeah, it's a little bit bigger.
Yeah, well, you know what a mole is.
A little thing on your face.
And they're digging holes in there, and they're eating all my plants. And so I went to the hardware store.
Wait, did I miss something? What's the name of the show?
No, I'm getting to that.
No, you are.
I go to the hardware store, and they have this little gadget you can hook up to your exhaust.
I knew it.
Of your vehicle.
I knew it.
And I came home, and I was all excited, and I said something to my husband. He says, won't work. He says the exhaust systems are too clean.
Well, no, he's wrong about that.
Oh?
It'll work.
It will?
Yeah. Oh, the heat will kill them.
Yeah.
Well, they got to eat too, Nancy.
I know, but, I mean, they're living in the woods. They can eat somewhere else.
Well, they've eaten good.
No, the problem is you're living in the woods, Nancy.
Right.
They were there first.
They were there first, right.
No, I've had this garden for 18 years, and just this last year it's been a problem.
Well, your stuff is too good, and now that they've discovered it, you're going to have to make it unpleasant for them. And, I mean, even though I'm not a proponent of killing them, I will tell you that the exhaust hose thing will work.
It will?
What your argument your husband's using is that there's not as much carbon monoxide in the exhaust as there used to be.
Yeah.
And that's true. But the carbon dioxide, which is, in fact, increased, is toxic, too. Not to mention the fact that whatever you pump in there is going to displace whatever oxygen was in there that they were breathing.
Yeah.
There must be some way to drive them out, though, without killing them, wouldn't you think?
Have you tried putting speakers down there and playing our show over and over again?
There you go.
No.
That would drive them out.
There are devices you can buy, see them in gardening magazines, that will emit a sound which is so abrasive or annoying to them that they'll run away. Car Talk may do the same thing. You may be able to just turn your radio and out the window.
You know, I've often questioned the validity of any of those ads because it's one of those, you can't hear it, you can't see it, you can't smell it. Trust us, it works.
Yeah.
Well, in fact, I opened one of the boxes. There was nothing in there.
You don't have to know.
You don't
know. As long as you open the box, it'll be a little note. Was there a little note?
Yeah, it says,
trust us.
Right. It's an open box and the creatures will be gone. Starts working immediately.
Doesn't work.
Yeah, and they have all of them have a 100% money back guarantee if you can find them again.
Yeah,
because they operate from a ship. Yeah, when they say we ship immediately, they mean it. Anyway, I would try one of those things before I tried gassing them.
Yeah,
I think I would. I mean, it's more humane.
They don't deserve to die because they're trying to have lunch. It's not seem right.
I would try one of those other things.
Okay.
Good luck, Nancy.
All right, thanks.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Unless they become a pain in the neck and then you just nuke them.
Right. Hey, Tommy, it's time for us to take a little break.
And when we come back, my brother is going to regale us with this week's challenging new puzzler. I mean, you don't mind the big buildup, do you?
Oh, no, no, no. No problem. We'll be back in a minute.
Oh, man, in their hard rock. We're riding around on the Saturday.
And even though the NPR lunch lady mixes up two Ipecac milkshakes whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.
Ha! Will you stop waking me up like that?
We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new puzzler. You know, and
see, it's good to be back into the swing.
Isn't it?
I mean, for so many months, you said the puzzler's on vacation. It was so depressing. Now
the puzzler was so happy though, being on vacation.
He was. So were you.
Well, I'm torn this week because I have a lot of potentially lousy puzzles I could use.
Yeah.
And you may have noticed that I'm working up to the good ones.
I didn't actually notice that trend yet.
Because it's hard to have a trend when you only have what? One puzzler under your belt.
Yeah, okay.
Here it is. The other night I had a gastrointestinal attack in the middle of the night.
Really?
Well, it may have had something to do with that double anchovy pepperoni pizza I had at 11 o'clock.
Does happen.
Or the cheesecake I ate out of the freezer an hour later. But in the middle of the night I wake up moaning and groaning, clutching my stomach, and I find myself at the medicine chest looking for some medicinal relief. And I pull out the bottle of the stuff, which I recognize by its shape and color. And lo and behold, I can't read the infinitesimally small print on the bottle.
Yeah.
So I go clutching my stomach. I make my way to the bedroom and find my glasses on the dresser. And I come back and I put them on. And even with my glasses,
you can't read it.
I still can't read it. The print is just too small, and I'm in agony now.
You're ready to just swizzle it down. You're going to swizzle it
I'm
down.
I'm moaning and groaning, and I don't want to take the wrong dose because too little is as bad as too much.
Yeah.
No, it isn't.
No.
And to make matters even worse, as I'm bent over in pain, my glasses fall off my head, and they break in half.
Oh.
I say, jeez, that's it. I'm going to just die right here
on the bathroom floor.
Unless I'm fortunate enough that my moaning wakes up another member of the household.
I hope.
And yet,
and all you could hear was three people yelling, shut up out there.
That's about it, yeah. And yet, a minute later,
yeah,
I was tucked in bed, tucked under the covers, having taken the correct dosage. How did I do it?
Nobody woke up to help you.
Nobody. All you have is what you have. You have all the facts. Now, if you think you know the answer, write that answer on the back of a $20 bill and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or, of course, you can email your answer from cartalk.com. If you'd like to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, my name is Jeff.
Hi, Jeff.
How you guys doing?
Is that with a J?
Actually, it's with a G.
It is. It's Joff.
Yeah, G-E-O-F-F.
Yeah, excellent.
Where are you from, Joff?
I am from Moton, Pennsylvania.
Where?
Moton.
Like Motown?
Close. It's M-O-H-N-T-O-N.
Huh?
Moton.
There's a silent N in there.
Wow.
Moton.
Pennsylvania?
Pennsylvania. It's near Reading.
Ah.
Okay.
I think I've been through Moton.
Real quick.
Yeah, it was real quick.
So what's up, Jeff?
So here's my problem.
Yeah.
I have a 97 Lumina, which I bought used from a family relative.
A relative.
Yes. Here's my question. The brakes appear to be functioning fine. However, they make a kind of an alarming noise when you apply them.
Uh-huh.
It sounds a little like this. You ready?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I love it.
I've been working on that all week.
I bet you have.
Yeah.
And it does. Now, you're driving along.
Driving along.
And you see a red light up ahead, and you put your foot on the brake, And at what point in the travel of the brake pedal does this noise occur?
Well, it appears as soon as I step on the brake.
I
should say,
yeah,
I have noticed when I start the car, the initial time I press the brake after I'm driving along for a little bit, it's not as bad.
And it gets worse
as
you continue to use the brakes.
Well, I don't know if it gets worse, but it continues constantly.
It's constant. Okay.
And obviously the noise speeds up as if you were going faster.
Yeah, the harder I press on the brake, the more rapid the noise becomes.
Well, I have a theory.
You do?
You've got
theory
many
about
theories.
Everything.
I got a feeling.
Oh, God.
I don't know what my brother's going to tell you.
Oh, okay.
But I have a feeling that it's going to be complete horse feathers.
What, my theory?
I'm not going to agree with it. Knowing brakes as intimately as I do.
Well, I think Jeff has either accidentally or purposely misrepresented the situation.
Okay.
But he sounds like a nice guy, and we're going to let it slide.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, yeah.
But I think that what you have is a slightly warped disc. And I don't know where the thing is warped. It's as likely to be front as it is rear.
It sounds like it's coming from the front.
Okay. And what's happening is as the warped part of the disc is coming around, it is slapping at the brake pad and moving it in the caliper bracket and giving you the noise. You can find this out by, if it is the front, you can take it to your repair shop and have them put it up on the lift, and you can run the car in gear. And you can step on the brake, and you'll be able to hear and see this.
Ooh!
If you look from underneath while the wheel is turning, okay, you'll actually be able to see the pads moving left to right, which they shouldn't be doing.
Okay, I take it back. I like it.
I like it too.
Well, it's definitely the sound of pads.
Yeah.
It's the sound of one pad slapping.
Yes, it is exactly that.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
And the remedy is to either machine the discs on the car.
Okay.
Or to replace the discs. And we have a machine which does a superb job, this thing called ProCut, which is magnificent. You bolt it on and you flip a switch and you go and you make yourself a salami sandwich.
And what it does is it turns the rotor, prints out the bill, and mails it. Wow.
And what it does is it takes any runout that's in the bearing of the hub into consideration, and it machines it out of the whole dynamic of the thing so that you have a perfectly true running disc rotor.
Okay.
So if you can find someone that has an on-the-car lathe, that's what you want.
Well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
How much do you think this should run for a...
$400.
Well, if it's just a matter of returning them, it's probably $100 or less.
No, but he's not going to do it until he needs everything.
Oh, yeah.
$400.
$900.
No. That includes a catalytic converter, which you'll do, what the heck, as long as you're there.
Right. See you, Jeff.
Okay.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi. My name's Ronnie Sue.
Ronnie Sue.
Ronnie Sue, yeah.
All right. That's an interesting one. You tell us where you're from, and I'll tell you how to spell Ronnie.
No, we don't. We want to guess where she's from.
Just because... Oh, don't tell us.
I'm going to guess you're from Tennessee.
No.
Wait, don't tell us. Ronnie Sue is from Georgia.
No, you're going to be disappointed.
Yeah, New York City,
Brooklyn,
huh?
Brooklyn, right? Where?
Oregon.
I thought you couldn't have two names in Oregon. I thought you had to be from this, below the Mason-Dixon line to have two names.
I'm in hiding. No.
Do you have parents that were from below the Mason-Dixon line?
No, my parents.
Oh, you have to explain your name.
It's embarrassing. My mom's name is Sue and my dad's name is Ron. And I don't know. They got desperate at the last minute.
So it isn't Veronica Sue?
No.
No, it's Ronnie Sue. It's all one word.
That's an interesting name.
So what's up?
Okay, well, I drive this 79 Datsun 510.
No kidding.
Yeah, and I love it. I'm in love with it. I bought it for $200. It's my first car. And I've never paid much attention to, you know, how it runs or making sure that it does keep running.
Uh-huh.
But I have this little MacGyver story that I'd like to share with you.
Yeah, by all means.
Yeah.
Well, I was on my way up to my folks' house in Portland. It's a couple hours north, and every time I take my car up there, I have something strange happen. And this last time, I had to, well, my car was cutting out on me.
Uh-huh.
And it was, I don't know, it was just slowing down quite a bit and stuff. And eventually, I couldn't even go past, like, 50 miles per hour without it really cutting out on me.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got there, my dad said I needed a new fuel filter.
Good.
Yeah, good. So
evidently
I took it
not.
In, and they wanted to charge me a whole bunch of money to put this fuel filter in.
And your father said, no, no.
And I've never even, like, lifted the hood of my car before.
Uh-huh.
So I was kind of mad at how much they wanted to charge me.
How much could they have charged you? I mean, the filter costs like $4.
Yeah, something like 30 to put it in.
Well, we charge 50. Yeah, no, it takes like 5 minutes to put in.
Yeah, that's what they said. They said, oh, we can have this done for you in 5 minutes.
Right.
This is their telling me the price.
Well, so, I guess they charge $60 an hour then. That tells
right,
us that.
Something like that.
Yeah, okay.
So I went down to the parts store and asked the guy there, and he said I could put it in myself. And,
yeah.
So I did.
Good.
And it was the first time I'd ever even touched my engine.
Yeah.
Didn't you
so
feel
excited.
A certain kind of communion?
Yeah,
yes.
It was a real bonding moment.
An experience.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
A bondo moment.
It's the way my brother feels every time he opens the hood on his dad.
Yeah, so then, you know, I've got this new fuel filter in, and I think my imagination was working overtime, because on the way home, I was feeling like my car has run better than it's ever run in my whole life.
Yes,
right?
It was like floating, right?
Right, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. This
flying away, just going so fast you couldn't believe it, right?
Right.
Excellent.
So then, all of a sudden, you know, it's like steam's pouring out of the hood and stuff.
Uh-oh.
And I just happened to have had another problem, which is that what I thought was the radiator hose, because I really didn't know anything about my engine except for where the fuel filter was.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was the radiator hose, but it turned out to be the heater hose, as I found out later.
Yes.
Had a hole in it.
Uh-huh.
And it was letting all my steam out.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm checking for leaks and stuff to see if there's anything draining out of my radiator, and the radiator seemed fine. But I couldn't get home. I had an hour's left of driving. It was the middle of the night. I'm off to the side of the freeway.
Oh.
Big trucks are blowing me over and stuff. And so I thought, what am I going to do? And I couldn't even get to a phone to call AAA. So I had a bunch of, is it okay to say underwear on the radio?
Underwear?
No, not really.
No, jockey shorts is okay. Bloomers is all right.
In my laundry basket because I'd taken my laundry to my folks' house.
Of course.
I tore a pair of one of those up, and they had some wide, I had a pair of wide band elastic ones with me, and I just took the elastic off of those and wrapped it around that hose.
Yeah.
It worked perfect. It was great. I was so excited. I just.
Not only did you do routine maintenance, but you did trauma.
Right.
Oh, you triage.
It was great.
Well, Ronnie, I can tell. I don't know what your profession is.
No.
Or even if you have one, but whatever
yes,
it
do,
is.
But it's nothing like this.
You have to give it up. You have to give it up. You are destined to be an auto mechanic. You are. It's now in your blood. You have an intuitive feel. You do.
You do. You have it. Whatever you do now, my brother is absolutely correct. Quit your job. Don't go in tomorrow. Go immediately to ITT Technical Institute.
You guys are making me feel great.
No, I mean, the fact that you are able to diagnose the problem and so cleverly and creatively use the whatever small resources at your disposal, your jockey shorts.
Right.
They were jockeys.
Oh my God,
see, I know. Exactly. That's great.
Thank you.
Well, you, no.
So did you just call to get praise, or did you have a problem?
No. But, you know, that does feel good.
This was the MacGyver story.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
What I call for is that this thing has got to be replaced.
Yeah, you have to go to the dealer.
Yeah.
These are special hoses.
Well, I took it into this gas station.
Yeah.
And they said, no, you can't do this yourself. But I've got this feeling like I can do anything. You know? So I want to do this really bad, but I'm afraid of ruining my car.
Here's what you do.
You can do it.
Go to the Datsun dealer. I don't think they call them Datsuns anymore, but...
Yeah. Look around for the small print might say Datsun. The big print will say Nissan.
And you actually, a car this age, you should probably replace all the hoses, which is, there are like five hoses. Ask them to sell you every cooling system hose that they have in the chart.
Okay.
And then you'll figure out immediately where they go, and you'll have to buy a bunch of new clamps. And you can spend a Saturday afternoon at your leisure doing this, and then you'll have to fill up the cooling system with, you know, fresh antifreeze. and you have to run it until it circulates and all that. But I can you don't even need the explanation. We know you're going to figure out how to do it.
Of course you'll do it. I mean, how long have you been...
I have to go into the dash of my car for the heater hose, and that scares me.
I don't believe so. I think the heater hoses are accessible...
From under the hood.
From under the hood on this car.
Yeah.
But it looks like it goes right up into the...
It goes right to the firewall and stops right there.
Right.
And if it does go into the dash, you're going to crawl under there. It's easy.
Okay.
It's easy. And then, seriously, once you... Once you've put all these hoses on, you will have drained almost the entire cooling system.
Okay.
You then have to fill up the radiator, and you're going to run the engine with the radiator cap off, and you're going to continue running it and adding coolant to it.
As the level goes down, you'll see the level go down, and you add more, and the level goes down some more, you add a little more.
And you're going to continue to do that until you see steam coming out of the radiator, and the coolant is filled to the tippity top.
Uh-huh.
At that point, you put the radiator cap on, and you
and
are...
run like hell.
No, and you are done.
Kidding.
No, you're done.
Okay, good.
Hey, the best of luck to you.
We're very proud of you.
We
are. Great.
Keep
up the heroes.
Keep up the good work.
You're my hero, Ronnie Sue. Good God.
See you later.
Thanks.
Bye bye.
Well, it's happened again. You have squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Santorini, stuffed zucchini, clam linguine, fettuccine, cheese panini, cocktail weenie, dry martini, luncheoncini, is John Bugsy Lawler. A little poetic license there. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin Overa. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our staff bicycle tester is Maya Sertz. Our loss prevention associate is Natasha the Merchandise. Our staff urologist is Pete Shadil. Our repo agent is Carmine Now. Our cruise activity planner is Eaton Doolittle. Our practical joke evaluator is Odessa Goodwin. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. The pre-recorded portions of today's show were selected by our staff librarian, all been heard before. And the head of our Working Mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the pigeons looking for someone else's Wi-Fi signal in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And remember, don't drive like my brother.
And remember, don't drive like my brother.
That's what I said. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1438, download classic Car Talk episodes, and check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, some shocking news.
Oh, yeah?
Okay, high voltage news. We can now tell you everything you ever wanted to know about electric cars, how they work, whether they save money, what are the upsides and downsides, and how to improve your hitchhiking odds when you run out of juice. If you're at all tempted by electric cars, you'll want to check out our new EV section, which you can find right now over at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though little old ladies stomp on their miracle ears whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.